quorum of the committee, so
recording in progress.
We want to start up here?
Sure.
Yes.
Okay, good deal. I will call this meeting of the Utilities and Sewers Committee to order, despite the people calling me on the phone here, and the clerk will call the roll of members present.
Tracus?
Present.
Civic?
Here.
Laverca?
Here.
Terrific. Well, thank you very much. Thanks, everybody, for making time for this. I was hoping this would be a short meeting, but that's up to you. And first item on the agenda is something we talked about at our last meeting, and that was the Federal Rescue Plan programs. Don submitted a lot of ideas that might be able to be used for the federal dollars that are coming in. These are dollars that were unallocated, and so I took the liberty of taking some of the suggestions that were not funded and putting it into a document, and those are just some of my ideas. I have nothing I'm married to or they're asking you to be married to, but they're a suggestion, and I was wondering if we might be able to get Don and the mayor to comment on that and the committee members and see where you want to go with this. So item one.
Yeah, so it's
Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Good deal. Yeah. Yeah. So we have a document that was prepared, just proposing some of the, you know, some of the dollars and how they might be spent. And again, these were on unallocated projects. So these were items that had been on our radar screen that were unfunded as of the time that they came up. And so, like I said, I didn't prioritize them in any other way other than they were a bunch of dollars that fit into into the program. And I thought perhaps if we have a three-year allocation of these funds, that this might be a suggestion as to how to utilize those funds. So only an idea, and wanted to get your reaction to it. And I wanted to do a little bit of a markup today, see what you thought. And if you like it, we could make some changes and go forward. If you don't like it, we could try something else. So that was what I was hoping could be on the agenda. So Don's got it up.
Mr. Chairman, this is the original document that you had submitted a few weeks back when you had requested the meeting. There was an update to this?
I don't believe there's been an update, Don.
Okay.
So the idea is, should we update it? Should we, you know, what are your thoughts? I mean, is this logical? Is this a good allocation of funds? I mean, obviously we have other projects that we've been working on, and there had been some discussion that maybe we would just take the federal dollars and allocate them to existing projects and maybe ramp them up quicker. So it's a philosophical question. I guess I threw this together because I thought these are the types of programs that wouldn't be funded anyway, you know, or anytime soon, let's put it that way. So if you allocated the unanticipated dollars to take care of these projects, it might get them off of our table and be able to do quite a bit of ambitious projects that ordinarily wouldn't have been done. So strictly a philosophical question as to whether we want to do that or not, and thought I'd get your feedback and thoughts.
Well, I'll jump in on that, Chairman, if I may.
Please.
Yeah, the dollars line up, but I guess courtesy to the mayor and the finance director, I mean, what's the proper path for this? Who gets to make the first recommendation, if you will, as to how that federal money gets allocated? You know, maybe council's jumping ahead of the administration a bit on this. I don't know, but it's one sort of question. The other question is, with regard to these projects, is there a scoring system that could help us evaluate priorities? And secondly, are these projects potential for the public-private partnership program that we've just created? So, you know, to the extent that there's a homeowner participation in this, that's less dollars that would have to come out of this rescue plan money, right? So several moving pieces to the whole discussion, and I'm not quite sure how to best approach that?
Great questions.
Well, I think the mayor should decide what projects. Just kidding. But, you know, in terms of priority, your point's well taken that, you know, each committee, we have utilities, we have streets, we have public buildings and lands, safety, we have, these committees should each possibly put together their priority list. We could do the legwork as a committee and then use the administration to support your initiatives and prioritize, for example, to take these projects and see which prioritize them in terms of critical need would be one criteria. And then public-private participation to extend the dollars would be a second criteria. And so I think if between this discussion today, maybe one goal would be to do that. And then if there are other projects that we missed on this, we'd be able to adjust accordingly. But I think each committee maybe ought to review from their priority list and priority and allocation capacity. And then we can determine as a whole between the administration and council how we want to divvy up that money, if that's a strategy.
That makes sense to me. Anyone else?
I like the idea, the aspect of getting into the public-private. I also feel that these particular projects are ones that in many cases have kind of sat around for a while. I mean, it was the old, let's kind of put it on the list. And to me, the reality is some focus in this direction is a good idea. We'll take care of those items that have been kind of sitting at the side burner. And would give us an option of trying to do some of the public-private thing, which could potentially reduce the list. If you don't have enough of the private piece that's interested, then the item could be removed from the list. So,
good point. I think we're basically all saying the same thing.
Agreed. Yeah, absolutely. So in terms of that, Mayor, so obviously the big ticket items are going to be utilities, streets, and sidewalks in terms of, you know, project, because that's usually the ones that we put on the, we put on for long-term plus where you have unallocated funds. But we also have other types of needs that may fall within the American Rescue Plan, and obviously public safety is one of those. I think that was one of the priorities. So. Do you want to put together maybe some thoughts in terms of the committees that might want to look at these things and some of the projects they might want to look at, and then move forward from that direction instead of doing something like this? Or maybe our committee could start with something like this, but obviously we don't know what the big number is going to be.
I think since we're here and we've allocated time for this, we should possibly look at these projects as a starting step, and then see if they qualify, or we can get enough people to participate in the public-private situation. This would be extend those dollars out, because there are obviously street issues overlap some of these, and then we also have public buildings and lands, which has a number of different things they need to get accomplished. And safety, obviously we never have enough dollars for those, but I mean, I think we should start right here.
Okay, that sounds good. We also have some feedback from the public. Jim Pidio sent a note that said that some of these projects help 5 or 6 residents by way of solving issues in a neighborhood. So obviously that was one of the other things we were trying to accomplish, is to maximize our dollars to help as many people as possible. So that would be one of the goals. So Don, do you want to start into it? Again, this is strictly randomized based on our alternatives and based on the money available. So there wasn't when I put it together, I just did it based on how much money fit into each programmatic year. So it was not based on what probably you might want to prioritize with respect to how serious are these items. But do you want to help us work through this list?
Sure, yeah, I could go through. We have the schematic designs of all these, and as I think Councilman Vavirka mentioned, you know, a lot of these got put on a list in the first place because we get aware of them, and we had done some investigation into troubleshooting, you know, what the problem was and what a potential solution could be, and then put it out to bid, just again, always to answer what kind of costs are we talking about if it were something that the city would be willing to participate in, or even for the residents to know what it would take to get something constructed using city contract dollars. The first one on the list, alternate A, was an issue that we became aware of between two properties. The city had a number of years ago ran a 6-inch line back, and with some additional building construction, there's an ongoing issue with the drainage of the properties. So this project proposed an 18-inch storm sewer to replace the smaller sewer. There's a nice deep manhole structure to tie into, and this project was bid out at $45,000. And one thing we were looking at, just to give you the full picture, in that right now, this, if it were built like this, pretty shallow, cost effective, if once I show you some additional figures, options to deepen it and increase the diameter would potentially bring in potential solutions to a wider, wider geographical area in terms of solving more problems for other residents, but consequently the costs go up. So this was to increase the sewer, I believe, to a 24-inch diameter, and to run it further back to the north, and then stub it for future extension, and also put some stubs here for potential east and west extensions, and you can see the costs going up. All the while still solving the initial problem of the two adjacent properties, and then one looking the next one even that much more globally to see what, how much further this deep sewer can expand the sewer and really potentially pull water from a large geographic area, and of course the cost consequently increasing to pull that off. So it's just been, you know, it started out, it's a smaller dollar value, smaller project scope, to try to looking at just the two affected properties. So just wanted to give you the full picture on that one.
What's the approximate street address for where this is? Like, what's the cross streets, or where is it?
It looks like it's east of east the freeway.
Of, it's east of Willow. Excuse me, east of Wood.
Yep.
Four houses east of Wood.
So all of those properties can be benefited if we put together one $400,000 or so allocation, is what you're saying, right, Don?
Correct, and then make it a deeper, larger diameter and a deeper sewer, making best use of the available elevation that exists with the sewer cross that's crossing under Chestnut Road presently.
Well, that's got some appeal to me, because that's been a problem for a long, long time, and if you could solve that many people's problems with that type of a with that type of an allocation, that gets you a lot farther along.
I agree, Jim. I think that makes sense.
The question is, obviously, I think the larger diameter pipe that puts us in a position to spread that out east and west will accommodate all those different parties that have called us continuously about the water sitting in their yards, because we just don't have any fall in this area. So I would support the larger diameter pipe. And then the other challenge is, Don, if you go back to the other slide, to do the public-private partnership, I mean, you're really using that first phase as a trunk line.
Right.
And then you're using it to spread that out over all those people could participate and benefit. And there's 25 people that would, you know, could participate.
Let me throw just a thought in there, because I like the larger diameter. I like the more inclusive large project better than only help two people. But I guess my question is, if I'm Sam and I live along the course of that sewer connection and I choose no, Would you still put a stub in there? And then later when I decide my yard is too wet, then I can pay in and get connected at a higher cost?
I'm not sure you could actually differentiate that easily. But Don, I defer to Don to answer that question. Don, in other words, Don, could you put 3/4 of those connections in and leave the other ones? Or it would be practical not to do it all at one time.
Right, and that's the challenge when you bring so many parties. It's hard enough to get two people to agree to something. You bring in a whole neighborhood of people, and right, the one guy in the middle doesn't want it. You can't skip over it. Right, it induces a lot of challenges and good questions.
So if we went through our formula of a third and two-thirds, say, for example, just for conversation, there's, say, 25 people or so, and we're going to, the city will absorb, it's $400,000, so the city will eat the engineering and the construction up to, say, $150,000 or $300,000, they'll split, so it's going to cost them $2,000-$3,000 a person. Is that my math right?
I think you're right about that, Mayor.
Maybe 35 though. So it could be if there's 30 and there's 150,000 to spread, that's what? Geez.
It's not that much. Yeah.
So even if it's $1,000 a person, based on our, unless we modify the formula, $1,000.
Give me the numbers again. What, 150,000 divided by 30?
Well, I'm just saying if it costs you, if it's $1,000 a house, I mean, who wouldn't spend $1,000 a house to take care of the drainage in the backyard? Maybe there's people, I don't know.
I think that's a pretty good deal.
I would just, real quick, I want to just get into the record. So, you know, the first two were very easy to bid. They're smaller in scope, and we had actual real, you know, tangible bids for these two first alternates. This next one, we extrapolated a lot of unit pricing just because to kind of get a flavor of. So this is an estimated value. And
there's components of this. We have to get easements. Probably costs as much to get easements as it would cost to do the project.
Right. Yeah. One aspect, and it's challenging to obtain those easements. You think somebody who's willing to participate would grant you those easements.
That's
work.
Well, because of the scale of this project, I do think it's appropriate to at least find that out. And, you know, again, this is an opportunity that we wouldn't ordinarily have. These residences would continue to have problems for years down the pike. Or we can take care of it in the next programmatic year, which you know, I think has an appeal. And yeah, everybody has on this street has had a lot of problems for a lot of reasons. And if you can solve them in one fell swoop, I think that would turn some heads, and I think the public would be interested in that.
Don, have the houses in that general area had flooded basements, or is it a soggy yard, or what exactly are the conditions that this would improve?
Right, so we've historically get calls routinely in the spring and fall in the wet seasons of just backyards, flooding backyards. Ultimately, when things are saturated enough, water tends to spill out and pour out like used to onto Chestnut Road. We performed some work a number of years ago with service department to extend the sewer and try to catch that water behind the sidewalk. But it's just really wet. It's very flat back here, and nowhere for the water to go until it gets completely saturated and makes its way towards Chestnut Road through the side yards or through the one property of the house that sits in the back, and the long driveway tends to collect.
Have people had damage to their basements and that sort of thing, or we're just talking water?
I believe a lot of the homes have sump pumps. Due to the real, the only existing available sewer is a very shallow storm sewer, 12-inch or 15-inch on Chestnut. So But of course, the wet ground, you know, wet, I don't know about flooding per se as much as just wet foundations. But I could be wrong. There could be an incident or two of actual flooded basements.
What size main do we have potentially to tie this 18-inch line into?
Yeah, it's a, let me get you the prior slide shows. Existing 24-8-inch reinforced concrete culvert that comes under the road and it's extremely deep. There's a 54-inch pipe that leaves this structure and heads to the south.
Capacity then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And right now there's a 30-inch pipe that runs along the south side of Chestnut that when that project was done, back when the road was reconstructed, homes on the south side might have been tied in, but I don't believe anyone on the north side was tied in per se. So one on the north side wanting to tie into to the larger, deeper sewer that exists today would have to be very expensive to cut up the road and get into the sewer on the other side of the street. A lot of utilities to try to navigate through conflicts. So I don't believe anyone's ever done it. That's why it's been wet back there all these years. So if that's all the discussion on this Chestnut, we'll keep on moving.
Mr. Pidio had a question. Is the subgrade rock like we have in the north on the propane, same thing? Yeah.
I believe so, yep. And that's another reason why extrapolating these prices might, you know, the cost estimates, you know, we'd have to maybe, if we're going to get real bids, get some, maybe some bores and make sure bidders are looking at this thing the right way and accounting for some slow production, at least ripping through rock, which we made them aware on these bids that to expect the rock, but it's, you know, shallower and not that much footage.
Don, the T portion of that first run, how deep do you think, do you have an inversion elevation at the where it tees off to go east and west?
Right here?
Back further.
Right to the
there.
North?
Isn't that where we were going to tee off to go back? And, is there an inversion elevation there? Just to try and get a flavor of how deep we're going to be at that point.
Yeah, about 9 feet back here.
To be 9 feet long, and then okay, so it'd be, then at the other end it would probably be what? 3 feet, 4 feet?
At the high end?
Yeah.
Right. So by the time we extend these things out, yeah, by the time we get to the ends of the run, I think we're 2 or 3 feet at most.
Yeah.
To be able to pull all these distances.
Sure.
Yep. But we're able to do that because we're nice and deep here. I think we're 11 feet deep here at Chestnut Road.
Sure. Well, we can, Mr. Chairman, we can explore that a little further, drill down a little bit more to get some costs and
please do.
We'll try to answer some questions in terms of realistically, can we do some type of reverse easement if they have to pay us to take it, or rather than paying the party, build that into some type of cost factor. I don't know, it's creative, but
yeah,
we need to find a way to get away from the public of having to get an appraisal on each one of these. The appraisal will cost more than the benefit.
Yeah, right.
So yeah, we need to either have a CIC or some other way of mechanism to get around the public procedure, because it's just too cumbersome for us to try to do that. Is that fair, Don?
Yes. Yep.
Committee, do you agree with that approach?
Yes.
Ken, Dale, yeah. Okay, yes. I think it's unanimous on our end. Please do.
Okay. We'll do some more research. We'll come up with some, we'll answer those questions in terms of approximate cost, how to obtain an easement and timetable and go from there.
Is there any way to create a like a homeowners association type thing in this neighborhood for Chestnut Road to facilitate something like that?
That may be a vehicle we need to use.
Wouldn't cost as much, obviously. So
I'm going to try to, we'll try to answer those questions in terms of getting legal access, the costs, spreading it out. And I'm so we'll go on the formula of two-thirds private, one-third city. Is that what we're still saying?
Right. If it's appropriate. Yeah.
Would there be any desire to put out any sort of preliminary questionnaire to the residents that could potentially benefit and maybe, I don't know, there's pros and cons to it.
Well, we can tell them we're exploring. We'll look at that too and we'll present the council.
I think that actually makes some sense and get them invested in what's going and what's potentially going on. Let them know it's a little brainstorming right now, but it could be realistic depending on what their answers are.
Okay. Just to recognize that it's just time consuming and you know takes a lot of resources, but it's something that needs to happen before you're going to learn where people stand on willing to participate in a project.
Roger that.
Okay, moving along. Alternate B was a simple little storm sewer extension off of a roadway catch basin, running up a sewer, trying to collect some water that weeps over a sidewalk and creates icy conditions in the winter. Very minor project, small cost, probably something that could be done relatively easily in-house if it's something that's prioritized.
How many people benefit?
Just a couple properties probably right here. But if you're looking at a public sidewalk, icy condition. Not that those don't exist in other areas of the city or this neighborhood, but again, just try to pick it up before it crosses over. The storm sewer main is on the other side of the street. That's why we have to chase it down to a catch basin because there's no near side storm sewer on the project side.
Okay.
Alternate E was now this one happens to be in an easement. There's a storm sewer outfall in this neighborhood at Forestwood. This is right opposite Pleasantwood. Storm sewer runs to the south and discharges into a stream, and there's some good amount of erosion at the headwall. And this has been on the books for some time. This might more lend itself to just the fact that this is an easement in the city's control.
And this would be a standalone project.
I think it could, right, be more a maintenance
no
project.
Question.
Mm-hmm. Another similar one, same thing. At Valley Woods, a large culvert that outlets to a headwall. There's some sediment deposition, and it forces the water to kind of run in an area outside the easement. And right now, the easement, the existing easement, is running way back here. And so this project would attempt to try to get that water back in its easement and normal flow. There's a major erosion problem right here on this bank because of the water's pounding on this tall bank.
So that'd be a standalone?
Very much could be considered that way. Alternate G, Hillside Dora. This happened to be a issue with a basement flooding condition, particularly when the water main, this, if you recall, we used to have routine water main breaks on Hillside, and due to the topography of this area, tomes in the low spot of the dip in the road, as well as they sit lower than the roads. So when the water mains would break, the basements would get flooded. Project to pick up some water, provide an outlet in the rear yard, take a storm sewer and catch basins to the north, tie into a nice deep sewer on Dora. The potential benefit could be cluster of homes, you know, right adjacent to the project.
Are there like six or eight homes there or something like that?
At a minimum, probably four, but with the catch basins that get constructed, you could potentially pull some from a couple properties east of
them.
Okay.
There's the Midland Highland one that's been on our radar screen for some time. It's just a real flat, tight area that's everybody's backyard backs up into this flat land that water tends to get trapped here with everybody's landscaping and buildup of yards over the decades. Water's trapped, so this project would take advantage of a storm sewer depth that's on the project side and running storm sewers and catch basins to serve a cluster of homes here. We had received some contact from a number of residents in this vicinity, not all of them, I wouldn't say, but here with a smaller project, it would be a lot probably easier to reach out and get some interaction, some feedback from the residents on a smaller scope project.
That would be the one that would fit the criteria to do some homework on.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say, I think so too, and it's, you know, this is the type of project we would have on our books for a long time before we got for it, so I think it'd be a nice one to consider on this.
Jim, did you have a chance to take a look at the prioritization chart that I passed along to you?
I did. This was high on the list.
Right. Because obviously, though, you know, one of the questions came to play is, and it relates to Ken's question, it's like, does it have an effect on flooding basements, water against the foundation, water in the yard? I mean, that's part of the prioritization would be, number one, obviously the number of people potentially affected and the severity of their potential damage or need. So, okay.
Yep, this checks those boxes.
I do believe, just now that jog my memory, there's an old, we do believe an old shallow 8-inch line that is here that tries to, at one time, tried to serve as the outfall, and then, you know, over the years it gets neglected and not maintained, still gets filled in. So I do believe it's really meant to kind of mimic what was there initially. And then over the years, as these people have problems, they disconnect downspouts and try to minimize their own problem. And then what that ends up doing is dumping more surface water into the area. So it kind of exacerbates the surface flooding conditions. So that's kind of how we were alerted to this project in the first place, all those conditions.
Now, when that gets southeast of Midland there, it goes through a individual resident's yard. Is that a big concern, or is there already an easement because of the previous line?
You mean right here, Councilor Verga?
Yeah, somewhere down, yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to research that. If there's an existing easement, or easements to each other, these homes, I do believe we found some documents. We'll have to dig back into that.
Yeah, because I believe once it goes under Midland, then it dumps into one of the creeks back there.
Oh yeah, once it gets to the storm sewer system.
Right, right. Well, would it tie in? Would that then tie into the storm sewer? Because I know the existing, I believe, is what goes down over the hill.
Correct. It would tie into the existing storm sewer.
Okay, so it would stop there. It wouldn't need to follow the path of the current.
No, correct. This would be okay. The beginning and ending of the project right here.
Okay.
Okay, this is alternate Q Brookside Drainage. There's just, again, a lot of flat topography and water gets stuck. There's a gravel driveway that's a little bit high and the water tends to just collect, but I'm really on both sides. And tries to move its way to the east, and I do believe Mr. Pidio's had some basement issues, problems that he has tried to rectify on his system. This would extend a sewer from a structure on Brookside, bring it up, and then run a series of catch basins and a crossing underneath the driveway to try to help pull that water in. And then, of course, once the inlets are here, they're there and they're deep enough such that homeowners can then extend the system further to try to expand the benefit to their backyards.
How many people might be affected by that then?
Initially, for sure, two. maybe a third. And then, of course, to the east, there's some cluster of homes that would probably see a benefit of decreased water flow coming across that's getting intercepted here. Now, to what extent they would be willing to participate in, that's a different question. So I don't know that we've gotten too many complaints from adjacent properties that have made their way, or if they have, it's been a number of years. I do remember there was a Holdash resident on Midland, one or two doors up from the intersection, who's just off the page here, that have since called with some drainage issues, because again, all this water tries to work its way towards the backyards out to Midland.
I thought from that, from the long driveway, a lot of that water sheds to the northwest, further up off the screen, behind the houses on Midland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a creek way in the back here that through that Meadows subdivision. So yes, there might be a break in the watershed, or the try to pull water to the north and west to get into the creek, but for trying to pull some of this this way. One thing to be cognizant of, we're trying to potentially have a reconstruction planned, capital improvement on Brookside Road, which may entail, much like the upper Brookside projects, brand new storm sewers to try to make improvements there globally like we did on the other projects. So even if we did this in the short term, then it would just have to be tied in and accounted for with any major storm sewer project, or for sure be planned accordingly, or deferred until such time as the new project sewers got constructed. But regardless, we're going to have to accommodate the drainage of what's here today and a future project, especially now that we know there's a potential here. We would plan accordingly.
So the question is, how many people will participate and how many will benefit?
Correct.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a definite need. There, every spring and fall, you see it's just pond water that are sitting on the surface of this area. Just has nowhere to go, tries to seep into the ground, and when it's saturated, it doesn't go anywhere, but tries to migrate through the ground, points east.
Is that a long driveway between those properties, or what is that?
Yeah, there's a house that sits way in the back. The Sarleys have a house, old house, that sits way in the back.
It actually sits behind a few of the houses on Highland. Around 6527, almost that far north.
Okay, moving on, if there's no more questions. This next one is hard to get oriented in this view, but these homes are deep.
By the way, did everybody see the commentary that was on the chat about this from residents who live in the area?
No.
Just take a look at that as you're considering that project we just discussed on Brookside. So several of the neighbors have had offered their opinions as to how this has worked. So,
well, it looks like at least two of them might participate, so we need to firm that up, Don, and see how many will participate, how many will benefit, and then we can go from there.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead.
This is Homoga, and these are rear properties of
on Brexville.
On Brexville Road, correct. This is a large garage that got built in the property, the Franco property. And right now it's just, a wet, low area that is challenged to drain. And this project would include catch basins and pulling that water out and tying into a structure on Homoga that's adequate depth. So at a minimum, one, two, four, at least four properties, and you could argue one or two adjacent ones potentially here where the water would ultimately try to flow north and east that would get intercepted. When this property owner did some improvements with the garage and with some driveway paving, we had required him to put in this basin. So that's why it shows up as existing, because we had anticipated a potential project here. Unfortunately for every bit of a year or two now, it's just been sitting here waiting for the pipe. So water collects and stands. It's becoming a nuisance issue, but we had hopes of a potential project to have an outlet of the water.
That's the one, Don, you and your son were
well,
4 years
that
ago.
That even predated this project. It was, you're right, when there was residents that had, there's an old system, drain tile, that's deficient, and we're trying to expose it and make best use of it for the property owner there back in the day. This is a Renwood drainage improvements. This one has actually been completed. So we had service department did a lot of good work with the sewer, extending it out of a catch basin and running it through some sidewalk and sending a catch basin behind the sidewalk to be able to capture a lot of the runoff that comes through the backyard and tends to pour over the sidewalk and pour over the driveway. We had, we collaborated with Cass Construction. They repaired the sidewalk. And then I think another vendor did some restoration. So between a couple of different entities, we got this thing taken care of and it's completed. And now it provides a facility. We put a stub out of the backside of the structure so that the homeowner could extend a pipe if he so chose to try to reap some benefit of the outfall. Now he has a place to tie into, because I do believe he has a lot of water and wetness in the side yard, in the rear yard. So that was the first initial list that we went through.
Okay. Committee, any questions?
I just want to go back to the scoring system. Don, in your life, I presume you've read a lot of bids and have a fair amount of experience of trying to compare apples to oranges sometimes. If there's a way, I presume, that people in your line of work have to try to do that sort of thing. And given that these are all storm water management programs, I mean, is there some Army Corps of Engineers or somebody out there who has already thought that through for us in some way that you know, kind of lists all those things to think about, like property, you know, threats to person or property versus, you know, threats to wetlands or, you know, erosion or all those different factors. Does that system already exist to try to score these projects?
Yes, Councilman Stinnick, I came across, I think, the Northeast Regional Sewer District, because they're in the business now of stormwater management, and you can imagine in their vast service area, they've got millions and millions of dollars in projects where they have to do the same thing we're doing, trying to vet and score and rank and prioritize their projects in their system. And I do believe they use a risk-based assessment where there's a high risk of not doing something that can lead to threats to property and life, you know, particularly when you're talking about large culverts that travel under roadways, and you've seen some of the major failures and the catastrophes that result from not doing something. So there's a lot more, I think, higher level type projects. Ours being more a lot of rear yard drainage issues, it might not doesn't rise to that level, but I think this, the methodology and the strategy would be very similar, something we would just have to model and come up with our own, you know, criteria for what projects we have to that we're considering here on this list.
Would you say,
do you have any information or resources in that regard that you could pass along to me and the other members of the committee? I presume it would be very helpful. I have no background or expertise in that, and I don't know what I don't know, you know, kind of what I should be asking necessarily. So any information you could provide in that regard would be helpful, as I, you know, if I'd be in a position to try and make decisions on these sorts of things, I'd like to have a little better background as to what factors to weigh, you know, how do we go about prioritizing one of these over another.
Sure, yep. Try to find some documentation for you. And I know just internally, and as you're all well aware, being here as long as we've been, we've internally had an unwritten priority of health issues, safety issues, basement flooding, be it sanitary sewage in basements or storm water in basements. threats to structures getting ready to fall into creeks if there's house foundations or garage structures. So, you know, those are the easy ones that we're well aware of. So we could try to start with those and then bring into, you know, other items to consider and use to prioritize.
I think just Ken, just to dive on that, you know, so I think we were worried about internal structure first, and I think that's what you see on most of the utility priority list. And the reason why these programs weren't funded over the last several years is because almost all of them are side yard or backyard water issues, so or outside water issues. So I guess the theory here was if there was a way we might be able to you know, take care of some of these problems. It's not like they're not problems. They're just not as high of a priority as the other problems that we've identified. So that was one of the thoughts that we put together to try to address some of these projects. And as you can see from the Chestnut Road project, it's extensive. I mean, and it's not, you know, it's an entire very large neighborhood. So we get these all the time. Okay. Anything else on that topic, then you'll get back with us with some of your ideas based this conversation, right, Mayor?
Yep.
Great. We like creating more work for you, sir, so, you know, we'll keep doing it if we can.
Could you also share with me a copy of your slides from this? It'd be helpful to have that going forward.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you. And then on the second item, we kind of alluded to it first, but I've already gotten four or five communications, which I've passed on, about these private-public partnership ideas. And I know that they might be there might be some popularity towards those. So was just curious if there was some initial ideas as to how do we handle these, how do we prioritize them, how do we get the information out to the public? Just wanted to get your thoughts, Mayor and Don, about that. I know you have a lot of other things on the plate, but like I said, we've already been getting inquiries about it, and so didn't want to leave the question unanswered.
Well, I think that based on today's meeting and the narrative that was presented, some of the questions, we're going to frame something up that's going to give us a little more direction to the issue. We're going to talk about some of the concerns internally, such as, you know, appraisals and easements and all the different dynamics of trying to forward any items on this agenda. So, and we're discovering every step of the way some of the challenges. So is it two people going to participate, 5, 10? Do we have to create a different mechanism, legal mechanism, a CIC? Community Improvement Corporation to get away from the bureaucratic structure of what we as a city are obligated to adhere to, because most of these projects would never get through the first phase of it if we had to spend all that money on 25 or 30 appraisals.
Yep.
So I think there's a certain dynamic of, you know, and then once we prioritize, we can then decide if we want to you know, determine a cost per household, do a questionnaire, and then get people engaged in the process. And I think we'll refine this over time. This isn't something that's going to be cookie cutter at the beginning. It's going to have to be well thought out and be able to justify it to the public as we move forward.
Absolutely. I know the folks over on Braidwood were kind of excited about this, so I think I sent you a note on that, but there was a particular interest in that area because, as we kind of identified in the past, that you know, the reality was that these were all on private residences. It was and the responsibility was not of the city. However, they banding together would be able to take care of this a lot easier than individuals doing it on their own. So I think that's on your radar screen, right?
Yeah, we also prioritize based on sanitary sewers have the highest priority, and then storm sewers, flooding basements, quality of life issues are the second priority. Erosion becomes a third tier priority. And then the public, the easement, anything going on public right-of-way that affects others is another criteria we have to look at. But that's how we've generally allocated our time and responsibility.
That makes sense, yeah. Anyone else have anything on that topic? Great. Anything else to come before the committee at this time? Okay, well, I know we got a planning commission coming up, so if there's no other further business to come before the committee, thank you for all the good research and good education that you helped put together today. And I think we got the ball rolling on these things, and we'll keep in touch on them.
And we may want to, remember, we may want to do the same thing with streets. We may have the same thing with public buildings and lands, safety. That may be a mechanism that we could draw out these various opportunities and then prioritize.
Totally agreed.
Okay. Okay, that's what we'll work under, unless there's an objection.
Sounds good.
Sounds good to this committee. Okay, is there a motion to adjourn?
I'll move.
Second.
Councilperson Vavirka made the motion. Councilperson Sinek seconded the motion. The clerk will call the roll.
Trakas.
Aye.
Sinek.
Yes.
Vavirka.
Yes.
Thank you, everybody, and I hope you had a terrific Labor Day weekend.